Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Waka waka.
Waka waka.
How the hell did we get waka waka?
You know what it is? It's the Muppets and the Sesame Street Muppets have been on all these commercials lately.
Oh, okay.
These, boy.
Oh, it's their 50th anniversary.
It is.
That's what it is.
But they've been on these commercials. It's one of the insurance companies. I forget which one.
So we were talking about how earlier, because Charles Barkley got in hot water for making the joke about how if I don't hit women, but if I did, I'd hit you. Right. And he got in a lot. And we feel like if he had been made more of a show of what a joke it was by saying, waka waka, just like Fozzie Bear did.
Right. Right. It would have been more clear that he was joking and not quite as menacing.
I feel like my development of my sense of humor was delayed at least for a little while growing up, because there was probably a portion of time where I didn't realize that Fozzie Bear was a bad comedian. You
yeah.
probably watch him and you think like, oh, that's funny,
he's
guess,
hilarious.
Right? That must be what, how people make people laugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me hear that.
Waka waka.
See, that's funny. I like that. Yeah, waka waka. So the Texans and the Colts tonight. You know, there's two things that I've been hearing the last few days, Seth. One, in the moment, this week kind of thing. The other is a bigger picture thing with the Texans. The first one is that this is an elimination game that's being played tonight. Do you believe that this is an elimination game? I know mathematically it's
right.
not. That's why I'm sort of seeing. Do you buy into this sort of the subjective nature of this being an elimination
no,
game?
No, because I think when you think that, you start. That's when you're looking at schedules and you start thinking you're smarter than you are and saying, well, the Colts will likely win this game and then drop that one, but the Texans have tougher games. I think there's still a whole lot more room for teams to surprise you, for some teams to fall off. It'll make for potentially a really, really interesting race to the finish. But even if the Texans win this, it could still be... I guess this would be the question. Right now, I think people are fixated on this. Right now, I think the Texans have a 75% chance of winning the division. But if they lose to the Colts, they've got a 25% chance of winning, give or take. Do you feel really like if you beat the Colts tonight that all of a sudden, oh, it's a smooth and easy path on and there's no threat from the Colts at all?
No. In fact, I need to see what the Titans do this weekend.
Right, right.
Because here's the problem with the Titans, or maybe the good thing with the Titans, depending on how things happen tonight, is you still play them twice. The Titans still are the ones. The Titans are 5-5, but in some ways probably feel as good, maybe even a little better than the Colts and the Texans, in that they're 5-5, but they're playing pretty good football lately, right? They were 2-4. They just beat the Chiefs a couple of weeks ago. They're coming off a bye. They've got the Texans twice down the stretch, so there's some aspect to which, and I think they may play the Colts one more time. I'm not totally sure. I know they play the Texans week 15
and 17. Oh, they
definitely
play the Colts, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean,
I saw that the Colts play the Titans, so by mathematics would tell you
that would
the
tell
Titans
me
also
the
play
Titans
the,
play the Colts as well.
That's
a good
transitive
take.
Property
that's a good,
or something.
That's a good take by you.
Yeah.
So we're sitting here making it about the Colts and the Texans, and look, tonight is huge. Tonight is bigger for the Texans than it is for the Colts because of what happened in week 7. If the Texans lose tonight, there's like serious water taking on in the boat damage to their chances of winning the division, their chances of taking the playoffs. Now they're sort of thrown into the muck and are probably going to need a tiebreaker or two unless they're just perfect down the stretch this season. So it's a big game for the Texans tonight, but the Titans are sort of laying in the weeds right now, man. And I can't believe I'm saying that, because when they were 2-4, I was pointing at Mike Vrabel and laughing. I was watching Vrabel press conferences, cackling at them about how beleaguered he looked. And Ryan Tannehill has kind of fished their season out a little
bit.
Well,
we know that the Titans can be a headache defensively. And we also know that Ryan Tannehill is that classic guy that on any given Sunday could surprise you and mess you up, bro. You know, like he can, watching Ryan Tannehill run, you're reminded, oh yeah, that guy was a wide receiver in college, all those things. I didn't hear Boomer Sports Minute, but I can guess what he did based on this response that we got from one of our listeners. The hell, Boomer? Jacoby still has a strained MCL, talking about Jacoby Brissett. T.Y. is a paper cannon at this point, and Marlon Mack broke his hand. But no, let's focus on Deshaun's ankle, of which he didn't miss a step, and the play after had a QB bailout pass. Sorry, guys, I needed to vent after that one. I hope his dog poops in their living room and his Roomba goes to town.
Okay, that was a little over the top.
Well, that goes back to old our screw-ems. We were more likely to read a screw-em if you said screw-em and then said something that you hoped happened to the person.
Ah, okay, gotcha.
Makes it more colorful.
Gotcha.
So the dog pooping and then the Roomba going over it, that destroys a living
room. Yeah, that's pretty mean. Are you concerned about Deshaun's ankle tonight?
I'm not. It's funny. Until, I guess, Boomer talked about it, I didn't really give it a second thought.
Yeah, I didn't see him as being gimpy after that, amazingly, because his ankle really got rolled up badly.
Yeah.
But he, the very next play, he's out there and he's rolling to his right. Now, maybe it hurts, and he was, I'll say this, he was inaccurate in the second half of that game, and that may have had something to do with it, right? The ability to plant, push off.
Was he more inaccurate in the second half than he was in the first half? I think he threw some dirt balls in the first half, too.
He may have.
Part of that is sometimes he's being careful and he throws a low ball when a guy is covered. When somebody's draped over a tight end, he's going to throw it low.
Yeah.
He'd rather have it be incomplete. But it felt like he was being inaccurate in throwing it low. It wasn't the precise, like, right at the shoelaces. It was 2 feet in front of Darren Fells. So I'm not that worried about that. What I am worried about is what the Ravens did defensively. It wasn't just the blitz. It was that the Ravens did a very good job of saying, okay, we know what you like, Deshaun. We know what's been working with this offense. You love these RPOs. We're going to take away the RPOs,
right,
and let's see how you adjust to it. We're going to take away the bootlegs. Let's see how you adjust to it. You saw those defensive ends getting way upfield really deep, really fast. Texans were doing the same thing to Lamar Jackson. Lamar, the one time with Whitney especially. Remember that where Whitney almost had Lamar Jackson?
Yep.
Whitney had just come way upfield. They said, on this play, we're not going to let anything get outside. So likewise, I think the Colts and a lot of other teams are going to start doing that versus the Texans. Then it becomes, okay, how do you respond to it with inside run, with throws from the pocket, with play action, and also with screens, too. If you got guys invited upfield, hit some screens.
I do think that it's an elimination game for the Texans for the division tonight. I think if they lose this game tonight, I don't think they're winning the AFC South. I think the combination, Seth, of their schedule down the stretch, which their last five games would be the Patriots, you'd be 6-5, you'd be 0-2 against the Colts, you'd have the Patriots coming in here, and so you're staring at 6-6, and all of a sudden these last four games, which everybody was sort of laughing at the beginning of the season, like, oh, oof, once you get past the Patriots, you'll cruise in December. Look, I know Denver has Brandon Allen starting right now. Denver has played a lot of close games lately. They've played three games where they've lost on a field goal in the last second of the game. The two Titans games are division games, and it's a team that's playing better right now. Maybe things change by week 15. But as of right now, those are two games that look a lot more difficult than they did a month ago. And then that Tampa Bay game is just, that's a team that can score points. You've got a banged up secondary, and it's at a weird part on the schedule where it's in between those two Titans games. It looks like the classic game that the Texans, if they needed, might be overlooking a little bit. A road trip to Tampa Bay when you're in the midst of trying to muck your way through the AFC playoff race, and all of a sudden you're playing a team in the NFC South that there's a decent chance you're overlooking.
Are the Texans capable of using Tampa's greatest weakness against them, which is
the strip clubs?
But also Jameis Winston's interception, his proneness to throwing interceptions. The Texans' defensive backfield at this point doesn't really seem capable of taking advantage of that.
Yeah. I think I can name the interceptions they've had this year by defensive backs, right?
Yeah.
Deshaun Gibson's got a couple of them. He had one in the Kansas City game. He closed out the Atlanta game. The interceptions in the Jacksonville game were that was Dylan Cole and Justin Reed had one.
Let's see where Tampa is.
That's bad. When in week 11, in week 12, I can name all the interceptions they've had this year.
Tampa's the fourth leading offense right now. It's crazy.
Yeah,
now
they can score.
They're not the fourth most effective offense. So the fourth leading offense is in terms of scoring, but they're done in by their 18 interceptions.
Yeah, think how many points they'd be scoring if they actually held on to the football.
They're leading interceptions by, the Bills have 13 interceptions. And the Eagles, Jonesy. Eagles have 16 interceptions.
Yeah. Jonesy's they've got five wins.
They used to have such high hopes. Yeah. Such high hopes for that young Carson Wentz.
Am I being alarmist by saying this is an elimination game for the division?
I think you're being an alarmist, but it makes it a heck of a lot tougher. Yeah. It makes it a lot tougher.
Yeah.
I've got some kind of bias against that. I've got some kind of, that's where I turn nerdy and like, well, no, if it's not an elimination game, it's not an elimination game.
You turn to the
game.
Math. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I turn to the ethos. You turn to the math.
You know what I do is I put myself in the position of a player or a coach. All of a sudden, because the odds are less, am I going to say, oh, well, that's it. If it's an elimination game, then you have to concede that there's no hope.
That's good. I mean, I think that's accurate. I think that's reflective. That's how the players have to look at it, right?
If they lost tonight, should O'Brien come in and be like, well, we made our best effort. Listen, Brian, just so you know, let's get ahead of this. We lost the division.
He pulls out a sheet with the stats from 538. It's practically over. Look at these percentages.
At this point, we're just going to get ready for Thanksgiving and then just start packing.
The other thing that I hear a lot with the Texans, not just this week but throughout the season, Seth, is they're all in on 2019. And I start thinking about it. I'm like, I don't know if they're all in on – I know they made a lot of big moves before the season. I don't know if they're all in on 2019 as much as they are all in on this window of the next couple years. And I think O'Brien was all in on fixing problems that were just drastic, like desperate times call for desperate measures.
I think that's a good point. Because there is something that rings a little hollow when you say they're all in on this year. I don't know in Bill O'Brien's mind how he was thinking about what the ultimate chances were of this team or not. But I didn't get the sense that, look, I was on a team in 1999 where the Jaguars, we thought we were close to a Super Bowl. And Coughlin went all in. And part of it was paying a lot of money to aging guys.
Right.
Bryce Pop. And now this was in like 2000. After 99.
Carnell Lake.
That was when we started getting really greedy because we felt like the window was closing. So 99, we were a really good team. And then after that, they signed Carnell Lake, Hardy Nickerson, Bryce Pop, all these aging guys and gave them way too much money. Awesome guys, but old.
Yeah.
That was going all in, and that was risking the future. I think this is where I've had to revise my opinion of what Bill O'Brien's done as a GM. He has, as he has said, he's taken guys who are younger and have upside and you still have control. That's a big difference.
Yeah.
I feel like that's going all in perhaps on the next 2 or 3 years, but it's different than saying we're all in on 2019.
As someone who has sat at an actual table at a casino and gone all in before, there are only two things that can happen when you go all in. You either win big or you go home because you lose everything. So when people say, well, the Texans are all in on 2019, I go, okay, so you're telling me that when they show up for training camp in 2020, this is a team that's prepared to go 4-12 because they didn't win the Super Bowl last year? Excuse me. The team is going to look largely the same in 2020 with what we hope are a few tweaks and improvements and a draft pick or two.
A team that's been all in an extreme fashion for the last 2 years, and it hasn't been all in for just 2018 or 2019, but they're really all in is the LA Rams.
Yeah.
When you start looking at the Rams' lack of draft picks.
That's a good example.
And cap space because of what they've done. That's what all in looks like. Because the other thing with the Texans right now is that they've got cap space. They've actually got way more cap space than you might expect. Going into 2020, they'll be able to give Deshaun Watson an extension and Laremy Tunsil and still have room to move in free agency. Hopefully I'd like them to be. If anything, my criticism of them would be they're not actually all in enough. Even for a 3-year window, they need to spend more money.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.